And now, Don Blackwell.
Welcome to Truth for the World. We're going to be talking today about something that every one of us has, and something that the Bible mentions a number of different times. It's something that can be used for good, or something that can be used for evil. We're going to be studying today about the imagination. The Bible uses the word imagination or imaginations about 20 times in the Old and New Testaments, but it talks about the concept many, many times. Let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth." Now listen carefully to the next phrase. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now notice that in the days of Noah, God saw that the thoughts of man, the imagination of man, was focused on that which was evil on a continual basis. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says about the ancient Gentiles, "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Friends, I want you to appreciate with me that the Bible teaches it is possible for a man to use his mind, to use his imagination, his mental resources, to meditate on evil things, to fill his heart with wickedness, and to devise evil plans. And I want you to notice very importantly, notice the important role that the imagination plays in whether or not we are pleasing to God. Notice that the people of Noah's day are said to be living in rebellion to God, and one of the things specifically cited is the imagination. The thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Ladies and gentlemen, it is possible for us to live in rebellion to God. Even though we may be going through the right actions in our life, it's possible for us to live in rebellion to God by what is going on in our minds. In Psalm 94 and verse 11, the Bible says, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man." I can sin by what is going on in my mind. I can be displeasing to the Lord by the use of my imagination, the use of my thoughts. David wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Psalm 139 and verse 23. You see, David understood that he could be displeasing to God simply by what was going on in his mind, in his imagination. That's why he says, "Search me and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me." In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Peter told Simon the sorcerer, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." And friends, you know what the dangerous thing is about the imagination? Well, two things, really. Two things very dangerous about the imagination. First, the imagination is where a lot of sins begin. A lot of sins start with that seed of thought, and then we entertain it in our minds, and we imagine ourselves doing it. We see it. We picture it. And in our minds, it seems like it would be so pleasurable to engage in that sin. And pretty soon, we begin devising a way to do it. Listen to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32. It says, "If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth." Now notice that. If you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. What he's saying is lay your hand upon your mouth before the evil thought in your heart turns into an outward action in your life. Friends, many sins are committed in the mind long before they are acted out. But the second thing that is so very dangerous about the imagination of man is the secrecy of it. You see, no one else knows what's going on in my mind. And so we think about evil things, and we may entertain evil thoughts that we would not dare do if other people could see it. Imagine if the thoughts of your mind were displayed on a screen for all of the world to see. Don't you imagine that you would guard your thoughts more carefully? But you know, it's not like that. No one else knows what's going on in my mind. And so the secrecy of it makes it very dangerous. The first point in today's lesson deals with the prodigal son. I want us to notice the prodigal son as an example of how the imagination works. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus spoke a parable to the people. He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, with wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want." That is the New King James Version. I want you to notice this. At first, this young man imagined what this far country was going to be like. In his mind, he probably thought about what it would be like to have this money, and the big man that he would be, and the exciting places he would visit. And he probably thought about the things that he would buy, and the adventures that he would have, and the way that women would gather to him. And he thought about all these things, and he imagined it, until finally he went to his father and said, "I want my inheritance. I'm going." But what happened when he got there? The text says there arose a severe famine, and he began to be in want. You see, it wasn't altogether like he imagined it was going to be. And friends, that's the way it always is with sin. We think about how pleasant sin is going to be, but it doesn't turn out that way. Think about Adam and Eve. Eve, no doubt, thought about that forbidden fruit and how great it would be and what it would be like to have her eyes opened. And maybe the intrigue of curiosity was part of this as well. Many sins have been committed because of curiosity. But it didn't turn out like she pictured it. You see, Eve never considered the shame that was to come to her. She never imagined in her mind hiding from God in the garden. She never considered being banished forever from Eden when she was running this through her mind and imagining what it would be like. She never imagined that through the deed she would commit, that sin would enter the world and the consequences of it, that being physical death, would pass upon mankind forever. Think about Judas Iscariot. At the moment that he decided to betray the Lord, what do you think was going on in his imagination? Probably, Judas thought about the 30 pieces of silver. John 12 and 6 tells us he had a love for money. Probably his greed had entered into the picture here, and he was thinking about what he would spend this money on. He was imagining it. Maybe he already had it spent in his mind. Maybe he thought about revenge. The Lord had rebuked Judas not long before this, Matthew chapter 26, 1 through 14. And maybe it was the sweet taste of revenge that he imagined as he pictured himself kissing the Lord on the cheek, the kiss of betrayal. But friends, Judas never considered the pain that he would feel afterwards. He never saw himself taking the money back and throwing it down at the feet of the priest. I don't think he ever imagined the rope or the tree or the eternity that he would spend lost. You know, Acts chapter 1, Peter says that Judas went to his own place. And Jesus says that it was a place that would have been better had he not been born. Friends, a man can commit a sin by what goes on in his mind. And our minds are so very dangerous. Our imagination is such a dangerous place. Number one, because it is the place where many sins start. That seed of thought begins, and we feed upon it until we act it out. But it's also dangerous because of the secrecy of it. Others are not aware of what's going on in our minds.